Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, it's the gospel in a nutshell. It's the one we've heard from when we were very young. But the depth of it all, the depth of it in the very fact that it says God so loved the world. How can that be? Jesus says at other times, be in the world but not of it. Don't get caught up in what this world is all about. You have a different kingdom to which you belong. So God doesn't love the world because he likes what's going on this planet. He does not like the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the wickedness, the wars and rumors of wars, all the rest of it. It infuriates the Almighty God that human beings do to other human beings what they do. It is not the way he built us to be. He put us on this earth to love each other as much as we love ourselves and to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And we all know that's not the way it goes. We may pay lip service to it, and many times we will see that wonderful things happen in our hearts of loving and caring for others. But we also know that much of our life is lived hoping we don't see too much trouble and don't get too deeply caught up in it. If God liked a safe and settled place, if our Lord had liked a comfort zone, we would not be here today. We would be lost forever. God's comfort zone is not ours. Our comfort zone is where we can take a Sabbath as much as possible from all the troubles out there. I do not find any great joy or any great need to watch the news at 10 o'clock to find out about all the bad things that have happened. I don't want to go to sleep that way. Does that mean I'm a hateful person or unloving? It may just mean we need to find ways in which we can do something where we actually have the power to do it. We are not going to be able to stop everything. But we can be involved in the lives of people around us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we could love the world on his behalf. That's what happens when we get baptized into the power of the Father, Son, and Spirit. We get made over. We get a different kind of heart, a different kind of drive that's really in us. It is not playing a game to be a Christian. It's not something that's impossible. It's something that's the new norm. The new norm for us as Christians. That which happens because God himself left his comfort zone and came down onto this planet. The one planet out of all creation that he has come to redeem. The one planet where his beloved creation turned against him and wanted nothing to do with him and brought destruction on itself that none of us can stop. So God loved the world. He didn't love because people would love back. It is so hard for us to remember that even if someone is not kind to us, we still get to be kind to them. Even if they may turn the other way, we can still reach out. And unless they push us away and stop us, we start again and again. We need to consciously think about doing that. It's not something that happens automatically, even for us as Christians, because we've got the tensions in our lives. Leave everybody else alone, just do my own thing, or be part of a human Christian community in a world that desperately needs to be loved. And so we have you two guys sitting here. We've talked a lot the last couple of years. I don't know if you mothers can understand when I say this. I'm going to miss your boys. I am. I'm going to miss, first of all, the unbelievably quick disappearance of the Kit Kats. But I'm also going to miss some very deep discussions about what it means to be alive, what it means to live in a community that is not easy to live in, with people who don't always think the same way we do. Our Lord says, I've overcome the world. Don't fall in love with it. Don't act like everything is okay out there because it's legal. Live as my beloved children. Live as those who know you've been redeemed for all eternity. And others of you are joining our congregation this day, and we welcome you as well with those same words, the encouragement that we gather together as his people to love as he has loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Those who have studied Old Testament with me will know that that rings a bell back into Genesis 22. Abraham, take your son, your only son, your beloved son Isaac, and give him back to me. Put him to death on the mountains of Moriah. And Abraham, who has found every way to avoid doing what God has called him to do, finally, at age 112 or 113, says, okay. And he goes to do it, apparently not telling his wife. And the knife is raised. And the angel of God comes and stops him and says, I don't want your son. I want you to know that you are not God and that you are mine. But God did not spare his son, his only son, his beloved son. He knew that his wrath against us is real for our selfishness and bullheadedness and arrogance and wickedness and self-love. And he knew we can't take it away. And thus, in the great switcheroo, he switched his son for us, and then poured out his wrath on his own son on Good Friday instead of all of us. It's finished, our Lord says. That part's done. And so on Easter morning, which we celebrated 7 weeks ago, we heard our Lord say, your sins are forgiven. I've taken them away, and now you have my righteousness and my holiness in you. And so to the two of you who sit in front of me, and to all of you, and to those who come and join here today, we publicly commit Jesus Christ is our Savior, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. The first part's easy. Well, he died for us. He'll take us to be with him in heaven. To be our Lord means he guides the way we think. He guides our priorities. He guides the way in which we are going to live out our life and what's really important and what's less important. As we talked about in Bible class this morning, what is most deeply in the heart of God is he wants every human being on this planet to be with him forever, bar none. Nobody is unworthy of his love because he makes them worthy. No one is lost because God says, I don't want you. Every single one is saved and redeemed. It's our job simply to say, here's what he said about me, here's what he said about you, and let the Holy Spirit fall where he may. Let the Holy Spirit, who came and gathered people together into the Christian church on this day many, many centuries ago, is still at work in us. Let's not foolishly think everybody knows what the Christian faith is about. Even in our country, there are many who have never even heard the story, many who have heard it and really don't get it, many whose hearts are still at enmity with God. Our good behavior will help to bring that across to people. But finally, the words from the Holy Spirit. You've been died for. You've been raised with Christ. You're mine forever. Those are the words that have eternal power. And thus we pray that God will work in our hearts and in our lives. We pray particularly for the two of you who will publicly recommit to your confirmation, at your confirmation, to your baptismal vows, and to those of you who will join our congregation. We commit to you that we intend to work together in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, which lasts forever. He gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Life beyond all clocks, beyond all calendars, beyond all of our achievements and all of our awards and all of our successes. Life in his presence to praise and honor him and to be in a restored creation where we can be what God made our first mom and dad to be. Jesus says to the cherub standing outside the Garden of Eden, please step aside. They're with me. May we all be. And may we look for everyone else we can find to be with him forever as well. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.